All right, well, it looks like it's about time. And someone has already given out a hymn for us to sing. So we are going to sing number 22, the first verse and the chorus. Someone could start that for me, please. One other for us to sing. Yes, Robert? 36? Okay. All right, well, I'm not familiar with this one, but if the room knows it, we can definitely sing it. So 36, the first verse and the chorus.
Goes well to a tune that sings only half of the chorus. Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eye against the light. For sinner, harden not thy heart.
Let's just say a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with the rest of our time. Amen. All right, so it looks like the balance of the children in this room are sitting towards this half. I've got a table over here with some stuff you might be interested in looking at. So I'm going to ask Marcus and Theo if they can help me move this table just a couple feet over. Can you do that for me, please? All right. We'll stop here because we want these guys to be able to see it too. So I'm going to take off this. We don't need this anymore. It's irrelevant. And I've got a couple things on the table here. And I'm wondering if any of the kids are beginning to understand one of the stories that we're going to look at. So I have this sword here. It's, I think, a pretty cool sword. If I don't end up injuring myself, that will be good. And we're going to put this back in here. And does anyone know what this is? Yes, Zach? Yeah, a slingshot. Any ideas what story we're going to speak about? Yes. David and Goliath, you are correct. That is the story that we're going to talk about. Now, that's the story, but it's not really my subject, if that makes any sense. My subject is champions and captains. So hopefully that's a good subject for you guys here today. So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel. And I've got, I think, a lot of different things I want to cover today. So if we have time at the end, some of you might have memorized a verse, we can do that. But we're going to focus on the lesson first. All right. So this is in 1 Samuel. I'm going to read the story for you guys. We're going to have a couple different comments, and then I'm going to call some young men up to help me reenact the story. So that's kind of the plan. All right, so this is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear had weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. All right, so here in the opening verses, we find that Israel is being attacked by the Philistines. The Philistines had got their army together, and they come, and it says that they were on one side of the mountain, and the army of Israel was on the other side, and there was a valley between them, and and Goliath was in it. And so this man named Goliath, he comes, and he issues a challenge. He says, give me a man that we may fight. And this Goliath, it says, I think it was referred to him as 6 cubits and a span. And I don't really know what a cubit or a span is. But it's a unit of measurement. It's a length. And I think some here might understand it a little better than I do. But I believe a cubit is something like this long. So you put 6 of those together, and Goliath was a very tall man. So he was, I think, I understand, between about maybe 9 to 10 feet tall. So I have a brother, and he is 4 inches taller than I am. He's 6'6". And most people think he's pretty tall. But Goliath was a couple feet taller than him. And I think the most impressive thing about Goliath was not his height. The most impressive thing about Goliath was his strength. It says here that he had a spear. Does anyone remember how it described the spear? Super heavy? Yes, that's probably the exact words that were used. It was very heavy. It describes it as a weaver's beam. So the spear was like a very huge, thick piece of wood, I think, is the point that's trying to be made there. And it refers to the tip of the spear, and it tells us how much it was in shekels of iron. And so here is this man, Goliath, and basically what he says is, we don't need everybody to fight. That's kind of a waste of life, don't you think? Have all the soldiers fight each other and die. He says, we can settle this with one man from Israel and one man from the Philistines. I'm the champion of the Philistines. You pick out your champion for the Israelites, and we'll fight. We'll fight to the death. And whoever wins, the other side that loses, they're going to be their servants. Sound like a fair deal? That's a pretty bold choice. All right, so let's continue reading the story. So we're going to pick up at the 23rd verse and read through the 25th verse. And David has come. He's visited his brothers. He's brought them food. In the meantime, you know, this has gone on for 40 days. Goliath comes out and he issues this challenge. Give me a man that we may fight together. And he does that for 40 days. And the Israelites have not picked a man because they're afraid. So, verse 23, as he talked with him, behold, there came out the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words. All right, so he's got the same message every day. He's been doing this for 40 days. He comes out at day 41, and this is what it says. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. That means they ran away and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that shall defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. All right, so Goliath comes out. He issues the same challenge that he has issued before. But this time, something's different. This time, David is there. And David hears the challenge. And David says, what will be done for the man who defeats Goliath? And there are three things that is offered, the king Saul was offering to the man that defeated Goliath. Did anyone catch any of what they were? Yes. Riches and his daughter. That's very good. That's actually more than I expected anyone to catch. That's two of the three. Yeah? Yes, his father's family was going to be free in Israel. So I don't know exactly what that would involve, but it might have been that they wouldn't have to pay taxes, or their children wouldn't have been conscripted in the army. So there's these three things. He's going to make him rich. He's going to be allowed to marry a princess. And his father's family is going to be free in Israel. Now, of those three things, which would you value the most? Yes, it's Ethan, right? No. Easton. Okay, my bad. Yeah, Easton, which would you value the most? I would value the riches. The riches? Zach, which would you value the most? There's no right or wrong answer. You're not sure they are all equal value in your sight. Yes, Robert? Being free, your family being free? You, that's what you would value? Yeah, that's a compound value of no taxes. All right. Yes, Gabe? Rich? What would you value? Your family being free. Ah, that's a very good reason. All right, we've got some well thought out answers here. No one has mentioned marrying the princess. That would be a little embarrassing, wouldn't it, to admit to a whole room of people, yeah, you're a little young, aren't you? But yeah, that's right. You don't have to be married to live. Oh, man. Well, let's keep on to the next point, which... What was important to David? This is a harder question than it might sound. You forget? All right, Easton? You're right. It was God. Because David responds, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" That was what was important to David. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the princess. It wasn't his father's house being free in Israel. It was that this man who did not worship the one true God every day was coming out. He was defying God's army. And he was making them afraid. And David says, "I want to fight for the Lord." So David cared about, we call it God's honor. So let's pick up with verse 40. And this is what it says. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came out and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy." That means he was pink. Pink cheeks. "And had a fair countenance." He was pretty looking. "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put in his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. All right. So here's Goliath, and he's looking at David. He's kind of what he says. He says, "This is insulting. You're sending a pretty boy to fight me. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give your body for birds to eat and for jackals to eat. And you're just going to rot in the field. I'm going to destroy you." And David says, "You've defied the armies of the living God. And he's going to give me the victory today. And you're the one who's going to rot in the field." Now, what did Goliath have for weapons? Did anyone catch that? Yes? Excellent. A sword, a spear, and a shield. Those were the three things that he had. What did David have?
A slingshot.
Yep, he had a slingshot. And it says, these aren't the greatest representations of smooth stones, but he had 5 smooth stones and a sling. So, we have somewhere in the audience here. I'm not seeing them. Where is Ian? Ian is going to be our David. And Drew, where is Drew? Drew is going to be our Goliath. All right. Choose your weapons, gentlemen. It's a real sword. You can ask Drew. All right. There we go. Excellent job, gentlemen. Thank you very much. All right. So, yes, you may sit down. Thank you for your help. All right. How did David kill Goliath? Yes? Is that right? Is that what killed Goliath? His own sword killed Goliath. So, David knocked him out with a stone. But if you remember, when David challenged Goliath, let me find it. I was actually just noticing this. He says in verse 46, this is before they fight, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee." David told Goliath, "I'm going to take off your head." But all he had was a slingshot. How was he going to take off Goliath's head? He needed a sword to do that. But the verse tells us there wasn't a sword in his hand. Oh, he used Goliath's sword to take off Goliath's head. And that was how he won the victory. So, we're going to go on to the next set of verses in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and read verses 5 to 7. I hope I've got these references right. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. All right. I need some volunteers, but they have to be female. I need some girls to volunteer. All right. You volunteer? And you volunteer? I have a lot more volunteers. No other girls want to come and help? We just get all of the girls? Maybe we'll just conscript them. Here. Favorite color? Which one do you want? Green one? All right. Do you want one? Here, I'll tell you what. I won't make you dance. All right, so here's what we're going to do. You girls can sit in your seat, and we're going to get the rest of the audience to help us so you don't have to be embarrassed doing it alone. So what we're going to do is this half of the room is Saul's half, and this half of the room is David's half. And so what we're going to do is you guys can blow on your flutes or your little, whatever those things are, party blowers. And this half of the room is going to say together, "Saul has slain his thousands." You think we can do this? All right, let's try this on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. And this side of the room is going to say, "David has slain his 10,000s. All right, think you can do that? I expect more gusto than the Saul side. All right, let's try it on a count of three. 1, 2, 3. "David has slain his 10,000s. All right, so this side. All right, so in the 13th verse of this chapter, it says, "Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people." Now, we're going to turn to 2 Samuel, and we're just going to have to go through this really quick because we're running out of time. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And I just want to read for you some of these verses. We're not going to go through them in depth. We're going to start with verse 8. So 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Edsonite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away, and he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agai, the Harite, And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And the 3 of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was there in the hold of the garrison of the Philistines, which was in Bethlehem. We'll stop there for a second. All right. This is a list of what it calls David's mighty men. These are men that followed David. David was their leader. David was their captain. And these men were strong. They were good fighters. And it tells us the different things that they did. And so in these verses and in 2 Chronicles, we find out that among these men, there was someone who slew 800 men. And there was someone who slew 300 men. And there was someone who slew some men that were like lions. And there was a man who slew a lion. There's a man in here. It doesn't tell us how many people he killed, but it says that he had the sword in his hand, and he was fighting these men, and his muscles got so tense holding that sword, he couldn't let it go. So these men are pretty impressive, but they report to David. So I don't know, we're kind of running out of time. I wanted to have an arm wrestling contest. Do you think you guys are up for that? Can you be quick? All right. Gabe, and then what's your name? You want to have an arm wrestling contest right here? All right. Elbows on the table. Ready, set, go. All right. I think we have a clear champion. Now, all right. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best, right? All right. Mr. Lyle? Do you have any qualifications you'd like to share with us?
No, I can't help it that I'm the bigger and stronger. I was just born this way.
All right. Elbows on the table. Ready, set, go. All right. I think we have an undisputed champion. Good job. Thank you, gentlemen. You may go to your seats. All right. Now, let's just say, what if Gabe had won? Wouldn't that be really impressive? We'd say, wow. And he'd have some new street credibility on the playground, right? All the guys would look up to him. Well, here were David's mighty men, and they defeated champions. They destroyed men that were bigger and stronger than them. And if David came and he said, I want you to polish the armor, these strong, mighty men who are champions, they had all kinds of street cred on the playground. They did whatever David said because he was their captain. He was their leader. And they loved him. Man, I'm thirsty. All right. Let's read some verses here. This is actually back. Well, this is in 2 Samuel. And 23. And verse 15, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. You got me a cup of water? Just because you knew I wanted one? John, that is so touching. I'm going to drink this. David did not. And his life was not in jeopardy. David's men, they heard that he wanted some water, and they went and got it because they loved him. That's how much they cared about their captain. They were willing to lay down their lives just so he could have a drink of the kind of water he really liked. Now, we have like 10 minutes left, and we haven't even gotten to the best part yet. I'm going to switch gears now, and I want to see if you can follow my train of thought. Can you try? All right. David was a champion because he defeated a champion. And he had men that followed him. He was their captain. And those men were mighty. They were strong. They were valiant and they were victorious. But they obeyed David as their commander. And they loved him. There was an expression in the verses that we read. I don't know if you noticed it. But David referred to God as the Lord of hosts. Now that word host means armies. He referred to God as the Lord of armies. And I looked up in my King James Bible that expression, the Lord of hosts, appears 235 times in the King James Bible. So, I've got some verses here. I noticed that some of you gentlemen had your Bibles, and this lady here has her Bible. Does someone want to read for us Exodus chapter 15, verse 3? Let me know if you get there. You ready to read for us, Marcus?
Which part?
Exodus chapter 15, verse 3.
The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
Very good. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, Isaiah 42, verse 13. Does someone think they can turn there? Isaiah 42, verse 13.
The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies.
Yeah. The Lord is a man of war. He will prevail against his enemies. He's the God of armies. And you know what? He has a captain in his armies. So let's read from Joshua chapter 5. Joshua 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. This captain of the Lord of hosts received worship. And the ground that he touched was holy. So Joshua had to take his shoes off. Angels are not allowed to receive worship. It tells us that in Revelation. And the ground they touch is not holy. But the ground that God touches is holy. And his son can receive worship. So who do you think that was? God himself. We would call that a Christophany, which is a fancy word that means Jesus in the Old Testament. So Jesus was the captain of God's armies. Now, how to cover this in 4 minutes? There's an angel, and in one night, he slew 184,000 men. What is the most that one of David's mighty men slew? 800. I don't think I would have the strength to swing this sword 184,000 times. But that angel did. And his captain was Jesus. If David's men loved him, do you think that the angels, whose captain is perfect, love him? I'm going to read a verse in Matthew 26, Matthew 26, verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I can now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? The context for this verse is Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Judas has just betrayed him. And a band of soldiers come to arrest Jesus. And Peter tries to stop them. And Jesus says, "Put away your sword. Don't you know that I can presently call 12 legions of angels?" Now, a legion is a group of soldiers. And the size varied at different points in time. But when Jesus lived, a legion was about 6,000 foot soldiers. And Jesus says, "I can presently call 12 legions of angels." 72,000 angels. One angel, slew in a single night 184,000 men. What do you think 72,000 angels could have done in that vineyard that night? Jesus said, "Presently." They could have been there right there. Presently. I think those soul angels were standing on the doorstep of heaven with their armor on and their swords in their hand, waiting for one word from the captain they loved. And it never came. And they just watched as he was carted off to Pilate's hall. And those angels watched as their captain was paraded by soldiers in a scarlet robe. And they hit him on their face. And they spit on him. And they plucked his hairs. And they mocked him. And they just stood there, ready. And the word never came. I was listening to a book on the way here. It was called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And in that book, the man who is Muslim said God would never have allowed his son to go through what Jesus went through. But then he asked a question. He said, "What if God cared more about his children than his majesty?" We're out of time, so we're going to have to close. But in Hebrews, we find that the captain of our salvation took the sword that was in Satan's hand and he slew him with Satan's own sword. By weakness and defeat, he won the Mede and crown He trod all his foes beneath his feet by being trodden down.